Are we on? Oh, yes. All right, you can go ahead and open your Bibles this evening. Go ahead and open up to 1 John chapter 2. We got a couple of things we're going to be talking about tonight. The first thing we're going to be talking about is love. The second thing is we're going to be talking about joy, the joy that we ought to have in our hearts and joy that we ought to have each and every day along with the love. So if you would, please, let's stand for the reverence of God's Word for the reading of it, please. 1 John chapter 2, three verses here, 15 through 17. And it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Let's pray. Blessed Father, as we come to you this time, Heavenly Father, and Lord, you know I'm weak and undone, Heavenly Father. Lord, I have nothing without you, Heavenly Father, and Lord, I just yield this temple to you tonight, Heavenly Father. Please help me, Lord. I can do nothing on my own. I can do nothing without your help tonight, Lord. Lord, this is all about you. It's not about me. It's not about anybody else. It's about you tonight, Lord. But please help us. Help me. Help each and every one that's here tonight. Thank you for those that are willing to come out tonight. Those that are visiting with us tonight, Lord, just thank you so much. But Lord, I just ask you, Lord, tonight, Heavenly Father, you control my tongue, Heavenly Father. Use it as you please, Heavenly Father. We continue to give you the praise and glory and honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, first of all, tonight, you know, the Father says, you know, we're not supposed to love the world and love the things in the world. And not too long ago, my wife and I, we got to, as a matter of fact, I think we talked about it several times that, you know, I believe that we put the emphasis of love on the wrong things. You know, because I believe love is something that ought to be towards your family, towards your friends, to your church family. That's the way I believe our love ought to be, and that's how it ought to be tonight. You know, sometimes I believe, you know, people will simply say, you know, I love my car. I love my truck. But I believe that's wrong. For the simple reason, God is simply saying right here, he says not to love this world. Do not love the things of this world. I think as Christians, excuse me. I think as Christians, those that are child of God, those that have been saved again, this is falls in place for us. So, and tonight I've got a few people I want to use an example. These are, one of them you know, but the other one you don't know. But sometimes people put love on material things. And I want to use one of my neighbors tonight as an example. I'm not mentioning his name, but I will simply say that one time he had come over into my backyard and he noticed I had a palm tree in my backyard and he says, "I like that." I said, "It's been there for a few years." And over a period of time, it's been that he'd come over there once in a while, won't come look at it. And I said, "Sure." Well, one day he went out and bought him a palm tree and took that thing and put it in the ground right there in front of his house. And it started to grow. I mean, it didn't grow much. And he looked out after that thing. He said, in the winter months, he wrapped it like I did his. I told him what he had to do to it. And sometimes he'd go, you know, beyond that point. And he got to the point, man, he liked that tree. He focused on that tree. So, and this is just me. Sometimes I believe he focused too much. But the thing of it is, that tree got to the point that it died. He didn't like that. He was upset about it. He went out and bought him another tree, took that one up and planted it. And this tree started growing better than the first one. He started taking care of it, started wrapping it like it's supposed to. And then he got to the point that the little greenhouse he had, it was too small. He says, I got to build a bigger one. So that's what he went out. Just recently, he went out, got the plastic, got all the pipe he needed, and spent days out there building this thing just for that tree. What am I saying? He has love on the wrong thing.
Right.
Now, the thing of it is, you got to stop thinking this is a man that's lost, okay? But the point of it is, he put so much time into that first tree, he's doing even more for this tree to try to keep it alive. You know what? My ours sits in our backyard. I take it back and wrap it with burlap. That's all I do to it. But yet he spends all this time. What am I saying? He spends too much time on that and not enough time with his family.
Yeah.
So what are we saying? That the love of God is not in him. The love of God is not in him. You know, I'm so concerned about this man as far as his salvation. Well, we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But I want to move down to verse 16 where it talks about the lust of the flesh. And, you know, one person that comes to mind, and of course it's Eve, and when she was tempted of the fruit in the midst of the garden. And of course we know the old serpent tempted her. But also, not only that, but she had desire, flesh-wise, to want that, to take it, to try it, to see how good it is. Do we sometimes in life see things that we want, that we focus on, that we shouldn't focus? I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with eating food, but when you get to the point that, and you know, it's one of the things I hate to say it, but I'm that way. You know, I got more than what I should have. But the point of it is that we have to watch what we do. The other thing I want to say here tonight is talking about the lust of the eyes. And let's talk about David here for a minute. And of course, we know how David was, and he looked on, if I pronounce her name right, Bathsheba. And how he looked upon her, which the problem of it is, he's seen with these right here, his eyes. But then it went a little bit farther, it went here, and then it went here, and then it even went farther than that. What am I saying? He went too far. When he seen this, he should have looked away. He should have stayed away from that, but he chose not to. We got to remember this day and time, people. This also has effect on us. I don't care if you're a man. I don't care if you're a woman. You're going to lust. You're going to lust. That's all it is to it. Now, let's go ahead and drop down to one other thing here I want to talk about tonight. Is the pride of life. You know, this is another thing that God does not like. He does not like the pride. And of course, I want to talk about the same neighbor of mine that, you know, sometimes men are not willing to get saved. And this man is a man I've tried to witness to. I've tried to talk to him about Christ. Matter of fact, for a couple of years in a row, we didn't do it this year. We invite them over for Thanksgiving dinner the day before. And she told me, she says, whatever you do, don't talk to him about Jesus. And, you know, it's the way I look at it, I didn't. It's my house, but I know a witness to him before. He didn't want to hear it. He turned away, walked off. But you know what? The thing of it is, we need to do the best we can. If I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, if I'm, you know, like I said, I witnessed to him more than once, but he didn't want to hear it. But you know what? If there's a person out there that you have not witnessed into, where's that blood going to be? It's going to be on your hands. But the thing I want to point out here tonight with three things here. Number one is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life all relate to one thing. And that's one simple little word, and that's called sin. And these people got mixed up in these things. People, I'm asking you tonight, by the will of God, that you don't allow these things to come into your life. And as, excuse me, as we drop down to verse 17 here, it says, and the world will pass away, the lust thereof, but those that do the will of the Father abide forever. Can you imagine one day this world is going to pass away and everything that's in it? Pastor James was talking about that a little bit this morning during Sunday school class about, you know, your automobile, it'll be gone. Your job will be gone. That company will no longer exist. Nothing in this world will exist anymore. God's saying it simply that it will pass away. But you know what? Those that are a child of God, those that confess Christ to be their Lord and Savior, you know, one day we're going to be in heaven. I'm not here to talk about that night, but he's saying, hey, my children are going to be with me. You know what? If somebody in your family is not saved, they're not going to go home to be with the Heavenly Father. We need to focus on them. Now, I know every member of my family has at one time made a confession of faith. I've started praying again that God will convict their heart to get them back in church where they belong. That's what we all need to be doing. If your family's not here tonight, please, I encourage you to pray for them. Try to invite them. I know it doesn't always help, but you can, I mean, do what you can. All right, let's go ahead and go over to John 15. Excuse me. John chapter 15, reading one verse here, verse 11. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Tonight, another thing I want to speak on tonight is take a moment or so to speak on joy. You know, joy is something that we need to have in our heart. I mean, 24/7. And to have that joy is such a wonderful thing. You know, and I remember years ago that when this is for the glory of God, that I used to get out and I do a lot of witnessing on the job and stuff, man. I tell you, when you lead somebody to Christ, people, it's a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing. But it got to the point, man, I would witness so much, and here again, this is for the glory of God, that anywhere from 1 to 4 souls a week on the job. You know what? I praise God for that. You know, I had my heart burned for those souls. I had that joy in my heart. I mean, every single day of my life, that's how it was. You know what? I want that same joy back. And don't get me wrong, I have joy in my heart. But not like I did. I mean, my heart was so burdened for lost souls. But I want to tell you something tonight. You know, we're supposed to put our trust and faith in God and not worry about things in life here. Because when you start worrying about things, like if your car breaks down, you're having financial problems. You know, my wife and I, you know, we go through that quite a bit. But you know what? We always put our faith in God. We know that He's going to provide. You know, one thing, it doesn't help to get angry. Angry doesn't get anywhere. Angry is not a good thing. That does not bring joy to your heart. If it does anything, it will destroy the joy that you do have. Don't focus on the negative things. God says, focus on my word. Focus on the prayer that you need to have. Focus on that devotion you need to have. This is where that joy comes from Him. Excuse me. Let's go to one other place. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and 5. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind. And let's drop down to 5, please. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So tonight, what Paul is speaking here, saying that these are the things that we need to do to have joy in our heart. We need to have that like mind. We need to think alike. You know, when Pastor James calls on for people to come out for soul winning, you know, we need to come together as a family, as a team. Come together with the same mind that Christ has to focus on those lost souls that are out there. What am I saying? Simply saying tonight that this is how it should be. The like-minded. And now something I want to bring to attention tonight, and this is I'm going to do with my wife. I didn't tell her I was going to pick on her tonight, but she'll get over it. I know what a doghouse is at. I don't have one. That's all right. I sleep in one. I don't know about you, Pastor. All right. So let's go ahead and move on. Now, most of you know that my wife, she's diabetic, and she has to take insulin. And what insulin does to a body, it helps you to put on weight that you don't want. And it's very hard to get rid of it. And one thing that I did, I'm making a commitment to work with her this year, and is to help her to lose this weight along with my weight. Now, one thing that I want to let you know here, they say that man, that it's usually in most cases easier for a man to lose weight compared to a woman. But I want to tell you, my wife worked hard for all these years to put this on me. So now I got to turn around and lose it? But it's kind of like this. You know, you see this here. I mean, it's got a nice little shape to it. But as time goes on, you just cover it up. You can't see it anymore. But as you come over to the far side and you open up, what happened? It's relocated itself. But what am I saying? Have you relocated yourself in the right place with Christ? Huh? Have you relocated yourself in the right place with Christ? Thank you, Jesus. But let's go ahead and move on. Now, three things I want to point out here. I know I don't have much time, but I want to say this with my wife. I haven't told her yet. But I want to make a commitment this year to her, right now, that I want to do three things with her as far as weight loss. Number one is to pray, to ask God to show us the correct way to go. Number two, I've got to do away with all that good junk food. Start on the salads, the other things I need to eat along with her. The third thing is to exercise. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to do that. That's usually a little hard. I mean, but I mean, one of her best friends happened to give her one of these little things. You get in the house, and I've got on it a couple times, sit on it, and you sit there and pedal it, and arms go back and forth like this. I'm like, that'll make you sick. So the point of it is, I'm going to commit to her. And as of right now, in front of y'all, I'm committing to you, wife, tonight, my best friend, to help you lose that weight along with myself. Now I want to go ahead and move on and be of of the same love. You know, my wife sometimes wants to go out and visit on a Sunday school class, visit the girls, and she's committed again this year. And the thing of it is, both of us need to have that same kind of love. But if she comes to me and asks me, and says, how would you like to go out with me? And I would be like, again? I really don't feel like it. I mean, can we go some other time? Well, I really like to go out. My question is to you tonight, is that the same kind of love? No, it's not. The kind of love that we need to have tonight is a love that is the same love that the Lord Jesus Christ has. I need to have a willing heart. If she asks me to go out with her, I need to go out and help her visit. That is the same love. The same love that the Lord Jesus Christ has. That's the kind of love we need to have tonight. Now, as we drop down here a little bit farther, you know, sometimes we get into our comfort zone. We have things that we want to do. Sometimes we may want to just sit home and watch the box, relax, fall asleep in our easy chair, and put other things off. You know what? Sometimes there's people out there in need. Sometimes we need to take our easy chair and push it to the side. You know, when Christ was here on earth, in the flesh, what did he do with his easy chair? He didn't have one. You know what? He was always out there looking at these people and showing them the way. Showing them the way how to get to heaven. You know what? We need to do the same thing. We need to take our easy chair and just push it out the way. And focus on these souls. Now, suppose you got somebody that's in need. I mean, it could be a financial need. It could be a physical need. It could be a mental need. It could be somebody that might need to be saved. I got something I want to share with you tonight. It came to mind earlier. You know, y'all know we have a bus ministry out here. And we go out every Sunday to pick these children up, these bus kids, and bring them in, the parents, those who would like to ride the bus. And I'm simply saying tonight, these fingers, all of them are pointing at me tonight. And I'm going to simply say this. What if I decided that one day I didn't want to take my bus out because it was too cold? Okay? And let's suppose there was nobody here to take my place to drive that bus. What if some of those kids were coming? And what if one of those kids brought a friend with them? Never set foot in church before. Never before. And that child could have came and got saved. What would have happened? What am I saying? Here again, that falls on my hands. My hands. Why? Because there's a need out there. Souls need to be saved. I can't just sit home, do what I want. But there are needs out there. And I'm going to close with this. Down in verse 5, it says, Let this mind be in you, which was also like Christ Jesus. What I'm saying here tonight, we need to have a mind like Christ. He showed the love to people. He had compassion for these people. He cared and took care of their needs. We need to be the same. I need to be the same this year. I need to make a stronger commitment to what I need to do. Is what the Lord's called me to do. So people, tonight, things that we should not do, let's not focus on the lust of the flesh and the eyes, the pride of life. The things that we need to focus on is love, joy, like as Jesus did. This is what Christ wants. This is what Christ wants out of me. So let's remember tonight, people, please don't put it off. God is waiting. He's waiting on me tonight as well. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus.